Welcome to another message from the Gospel of Luke. We're in the 21st chapter and verse number 20. We're studying Luke from the Greek text, and it's been exciting. We're almost finished with the book. We've got just a few more chapters to go. In studying the Greek New Testament, the textual criticism of it, we have over 5,000 Greek manuscripts, close to 6,000 that are found, and they're finding more all the time. Luke writes about Jesus from the standpoint of that he was man, that he was really a human being, but that he was God. Luke takes his lineage back through Mary, the seed of the woman, which goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15, and shows us that Jesus was actually the promised Messiah of Israel, the promised Redeemer of all mankind. You go back to the Gospel of John. John shows Jesus as God in flesh. Matthew shows Jesus as the King of Israel. And by the way, Matthew used Mark's gospel heavily. Matthew quotes 90% of Mark's gospel. Now, Mark's gospel, I've said that is through the eyes of Peter. Mark is writing it through the eyes of Peter. Now, some scholars believe that actually Mark took Peter's gospel that he had written and wrote it down. Now, that's very possible. Everything that Mark wrote down there was through Peter's eyes, whether it was a literal copying of those texts. We go back when we studied the text of the New Testament, and all of the manuscripts originally, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, did not say the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Mark, or Gospel of Luke. That was attributed later. They were all knew whose Gospels these were back then. Later on to designate who wrote them when they were looking at the first century manuscripts. By the way, that is the only way a manuscript got in the canon of Scripture at all, if it was first century. Now, I have seen just a fragment of the Gospel of Mark that was written before AD 70, before the temple was destroyed. Mark's Gospel, in later forms after AD 7, had a little phrase in there, epites geis, upon the land, we'll talk about Tiberius. So we know those were later than before AD 70. We have all types of manuscripts now from early first century, or the late first century, actually, when they were actually written. We have a gob more in the second century. We have more in the third century, and a whole bunch more in the fourth century, and it just keeps going up all the time. Let's go back now and just give you a little bit of idea of the text of the New Testament. I believe that the texts that we have today are as close to the originals as we can possibly get them. I believe the Bible is inspired in tense, mode, and voice from the original languages. There are a lot of little tiny, if you will study your Greek manuscripts like Nestle Allen, it'll show you the variant readings. The variant readings really don't mean much. The last part of the Gospel of Mark 16:9 through the rest of the chapter, is not there in the original language. In the old manuscripts, it wasn't there. And John 7:53 through 8:11, it was copied about the 8th century. That's the earliest that is found. Now, that story about that woman caught in adultery is not in your Bible. The forgiveness of Jesus, of that woman, isn't found many other places in the Bible. If you preach from that, if you're a minister, I heard, I don't think you're honest if you do. Simple as that, because it's not in the Bible. It's a good story, but it's not part of Scripture. I was listening to Daniel Wallace speak, and he was saying that they had a translation of the New Testament. This translation of the New Testament goes through Mark the 16th chapter and verses 9 on. It puts it in brackets and everything. But in John 7:53 through 8:11, he said, we did something different. A lot of ministers use our work in their studies and preaching from our work. He said, when we came to John 7:53 through 8:11, we made it three times smaller than any other of the scriptures in there, because when a preacher got up in the pulpit, he couldn't read it. Brethren, that one is not there. And it's not any, it doesn't have anything to do with you doubting your faith. That story is not in the Bible. It's a beautiful story, but it's not in the Bible. Now, what I'm reading to you here from the Greek is in the Bible. Hoton de edete, kiklumenein, hippo, strato pedon, Jerusalem tot noete, pote, engiken, he, eremosis, autes. The destruction of Jerusalem is foretold here in this scripture, in the Gospel of Luke. It's foretold before it happened. That means it is prophecy. Prophecy means to say before something happens, it's going to happen. Moreover, when you may see being surrounded, kuklomene, comes from the Greek word kiklo. I worked with a principal one time, his name was Kuklos. Kiklos, which means circle. The word Galilee means encircle. The cities encircling that lake, Gennesaret or Galilee. Being surrounded, encircled by camps of armies, Jerusalem. Then you may know that is drawing near the desolation of her. What happened here? What happened in this situation? There were three Sicarii arrested and were put in prison when Jesus was arrested by the high priest and the Sanhedrin and drugged before Pontius Pilate. These people, these individuals that were arrested, one of them was Barabbas. Barabbas means in the Aramaic, son of the father. And Barabbas was the ringleader of the Sicarii. The Sicarii were they were assassins. They were a very zealot group of Jewish people that went around assassinating Roman soldiers. They were the stiletto men. They had daggers that were sharp on both sides and very thin. They'd hide them under the coats. They'd slip up into a crowd and they would come up and slip up behind a Roman soldier and stick that knife through his armor and through his clothing up into his heart and twist it and walk off and let him bleed out. That's the Sicarii. The Sicarii ended up finally entrenching themselves at Masada. Masada and the Sicarii is what caused the downfall of Jerusalem. And we're going to see later on that the Jews, Pontius Pilate, these Sicarii would go into Jewish cities and they would kidnap people and want ransom so they could support their cause and feed their soldiers. They'd come in and take all the food of the people. They raped women. That's all the spoils of war, you know. Finally, there at Masada, they met their end with the 10th Roman Legion. They killed themselves with those sharp double-sided little stilettos. Later on, some escaped and they went historically to the island of Sicily. And there's where we have the word Sicily from Sicarii. Here we have the story of the surrounding of Jerusalem. And this is prophecy. Let's see what Jesus says about it now. You may know that it's drawn near the desolation of her. Her, that's the city. And that nation. That nation was carried off. When they were before Pontius Pilate, Pontius Pilate did his best to release Jesus. And he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. And he washed his hands. And for them. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our people. And it was. And it is present tense. Yet God will use them. If you look over here to our little God's plan of the nations over here, we see that we're living in the church age. And that began at the seashores of Galilee. That church was empowered there on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. That church has marched down through the ages. Through that church we have the Bible that we're talking about right now. That church will not fail. Jesus said, you are Peter, but upon this gigantic foundational rock, I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Even though Satan in all of his wiles and ways and methods has tried to do that. And yet, the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant, the element of that, in that Jesus will rule and reign, David shall rule and reign upon this earth, after he takes gates. Because of the Abrahamic and the Davidic covenant. Israel will be purified to the tribulation period. That's 7 years. So the first 3.5 won't be quite so bad as that last 7.5. Because there's going to be about 2 out of every 3 Jews going to be killed. And finally they will call upon the Lord and say, blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord. That's all about this verses that we're talking about right here. It's all about these verses. In the middle of that, Jesus will protect his people, and they will flee to a place in the mountains. Many people think that is Petra. And they will be protected there by Jehovah God himself. And then, after 5 out of every 6 Gentiles have been killed, and 2 out of every 3 Jews have been killed. Now during this time, there's going to be at least 144,000 Jews marked by God. We know that this period of time, in the future, I believe this anyway, I believe that Islam will become very powerful. And Islam has a Mahdi, which is like the Antichrist of Revelation and Daniel. They have a Isa, the false Jesus, the false prophet, coming out of Arabia. The Mahdi comes out of Syria. And then we have the beast coming out of Arabia. In the book of Revelation, we have the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. I believe that this system will try, and the mark of that is man's mark, 666. And the way some of the older manuscripts have 616, by the way. But this Antichrist shall stand up, and he'll have power all over the world. Many scholars believe now, and I do believe this, that the mark of the beast was there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. That is what is on every head of a jihadist. Every one of them that says Allah Akbar and dies pulling a trigger on a bomb or whatever, crashing an airplane. They think they're going to go into paradise. Yet they wake up in Hades. These people will take over the world, I believe, which they're trying to do now. Working. All over Europe, every place, it's a war. Civil war, every place where they go is a civil war. They won't follow the statutes or the constitution of any country where they are. They want Sharia law. It says in the writings of Muhammad and in the Bible, it seems like everything that's good in the Bible is bad in the Quran. Everything that's bad in the Quran is good in the Bible. Muhammad, or whoever wrote that Quran and the Sunnahs and the Hadiths, copied a lot from the Bible and from the apocryphal Gospels. We find out that the beast is going to go out and mark every one of the believers of Allah and Muhammad with the mark, which is his name or his authority. We find out that in the Bible that Jesus shall come back in Revelation the 19th chapter and slay them with the sword of his mouth or his words. He's going to bring in this millennial kingdom right here. And upon this earth, epitasgeis, will be no lost person. They're all going to be annihilated here at the end of the tribulation, all the lost people, all the followers of Muhammad and whatever false religion. They're going to be gone. Only saved people are going to go into the millennium, and it is 1,000 years, and the millennium is in the Bible. The word millennium is Latin, and it's chilia eter in Greek, which is there, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, to Jesu Christu, belonging to Christ. The 1,000-year reign belongs to Him. Many scholars believe that on the throne on this earth will be David, and Jesus ruling with His bride from heaven in New Jerusalem. For 1,000 years. The story that we have here in the Gospel of Luke in the 21st chapter, starting with verse number 20, is the beginning of troubles for Israel. Beginning of the destruction of Jerusalem. The Muslims say, according to their prophets and their Sunnahs and Hadiths and the Quran, that they're going to build a mosque, a temple, in Jerusalem. And that's going to make a 7-year contract, according to the Bible, with the Jews as false Messiah. But in the middle of it, it will be broken. The Muslims say that they're going to move the Kaaba stone from Mecca to Jerusalem. This all works out as the books of the Bible teach us. But it is not good. It is horrendous. It is slaughter in those end times. 21 verse 21. Tote hoi in te udia. Fi geter osan. Eis ta orai. Kai hoi en meso. Altes ek ko re tu san. Kai hoi en teis karats. Me eis erkes se dom dosan. Eis alten. Then the ones in the Judea, they shall flee. Every one of them, they shall flee. They will run for their lives. Fi ge tosan. Third person plural, present imperative active. Unto the mountains. And this is what we think is Petra, maybe. That's a conditional thing. Third class conditional. Condition determined, undetermined, but with prospect of fulfillment. Unto the mountains and to the ones in the middle of her, let them get out. Let them be commanded. And the ones in the countryside, the outlying districts, out in the farmlands and everything, don't go back into her. Don't go back into that city. Eis er kestosan. Don't go back into that city for yourself, middle boy. 21:22. Hote himere ek dikesios. Alte eisen tu plesathene. Panta ta ge gramina. Because the days of justice and vengeance, meeting out of justice is actually what it says. These things they are. This is going to bring Israel back to God. This talks about two different kinds of times. It talks about right here, when Israel betrayed their Messiah king, they'd be punished there. But at the end of this time, into the tribulation period, he says, don't go back into that city this last time. It's talking about two different destructions of Jerusalem. These things, they are to be fulfilled, all things having been written. Isaiah 63:4, Daniel 9:24-27, Hosea 9:7, Daniel 8:19, and 1 Corinthians 7:26. Zuah teis en gastri akousios. Kaitas theloxo seis en ekinais teis emeros. Esigar anake megale epites geis kai orge to lao tuto. Uah, woe, calamity, destruction. Little interjection, page 294. Revelation 19:12. This is word is quoted again. Uah is an onomatopoeic word. In other words, it says, uah, uah, oh, I'm dying. And they grab their chest and fall. Men will die for fear at this time. Woe to the ones, women, during pregnancy, gastri. That's what we call that gastrointestinal doctor. It comes right out of the word gastri. During their gestation period, having. And the ones giving suck, the ones lactating, the ones nursing during those days. It shall be for agony. Anakke. Agony. Distress. Great. Megale. You megasize something, there's the word megale right there. Epites gaze upon the land and wrath to the people this. God shall bring His wrath upon them and He shall use those terrible nations to bring it about. God used Hitler to punish Israel and get her back in the land. God has used many, many rulers down through the ages. God used the Roman Empire to mete out justice to these people. He did. They deserved that judgment. They deserved annihilation. But by the mercy of God, He always saved the remnant. God's judgment upon Israel has come to fulfillment. The time has come to put Israel through so much distress that they will finally call upon the God to save them. The whole reason for the tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God because the promises to David and Abraham. Israel was the administrator of God's kingdom on earth. And she, as a nation, was supposed to glorify and serve the God that came to them and to bring others to Him, proselytes to God. A proselyte, when he came to Israel, and Nicodemus knew this. They came and they learned and they went to the local synagogue, wherever they were going to join. They didn't buy a seat for that synagogue. They had to buy a seat. They went into that local synagogue and they got up and recited all the promises of God and the laws of God. And when the people were satisfied with that synagogue, when the ruler of the synagogue was satisfied, they took the guy and they shaved his head, they shaved his eyebrows, everything off. And they baptized him. He died to his old ethnic background, was raised anew as a child of Israel, the promised one, child of Abraham. They did that thousands of times. But Jesus told them, you are making your proselyte two times more the sons of hell than you are. Because you failed. The remnant of Israel will glorify God and bring glory to Him and for Him for at least the next 1,000 years during that period of time. Verse number 24, Kai pesonte stomati makares kai aik malotis de sonte. Eta ethne, panta kai Jerusalem, este patu mene, hippo ethnon, akri u, plero theson, kairo ethnon. And they shall fall by the mouth of the sword, and they shall be led unto the nations, all of them. And Jerusalem, it shall be, being trodden down by the nations, by the Gentiles, shall be trodden down for themselves by these nations, until which they shall be a commissure fulfilled the season of the Gentiles. Israel was trodden down until the times or seasons of the administration of the church age is fulfilled. The ninth chapter of the book of Genesis tells that Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem, that the nations, that the Gentiles, will take over the reins of the church age. Israel will be set aside, but then Israel will be called back again. Just before the rapture and the leading up to Israel will be regathered, and Israel shall become a nation again. Many people down through the ages did not believe Israel would ever become a nation again. That's the amillennialist. That's the ones that have what we call have the theology, replacement theology that replaces Israel with church. The church did replace Israel for a while. But the promises of Abraham and Isaac are true. In their minds, it was absurd and impossible for this ever to happen. But it did. May the 14th, 1948. But Israel, even though became a nation, they're still at enmity with God until they come and say, "Blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem." Not believing that Israel will have a place in the end times does violence to the scriptures. To ritually, literally, to spiritualize away the scriptures does great violence to them. This will happen. This will happen. 20 through 24 is where we studied so far. We'll start our next message on verse number 25, the coming of the Son of Man. If you're out there and you don't believe the Bible to be true, study prophecy. Prophecy will show you the truth. These words cannot have been spoken unless they were inspired by God. All this is fulfilled. The Word of God is true. It's foundational. The Word of God we have today in the original languages is being confirmed more and more every day to be the absolute, valid, inspired, plenarily inspired Word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. These are promises from the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out to honor and glorify you. Forgive me where I failed you. And Father, please let these words fall upon soft hearts and not hard hearts. That you'll deal with these people, that they will learn to love you and praise your holy name. Forgive me for I fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.